One more step downward. In verse 28, he was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Now I ask, can this be a mistake? This correlation to how our Lord Jesus was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver, and here by Judah, one of the brothers, he negotiates this deal that he should, instead of being killed in the pit, that he should be sold to the slave traders, the Ishmaelites, and sold as a slave down to Egypt. No, I don't think this can be a mistake. This is the inspiration of Scripture that is drawing a sketch in the Old Testament first book of how his son, the Lord Jesus, would be treated. Thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak today, and we are going again to parallels between the life of Joseph and our Lord Jesus. One of the great mysteries of the Bible. Mysteries in the sense that it has to be God. It could never have been written by a human author with human limitations and get all the pieces of the puzzle so perfectly with the coming Messiah and the details concerning him. This is what we call typology. The life of Joseph correlating in so many areas with the life of our Lord Jesus. And this is the wonder of it all. This is the power of the Bible. And I want to lead you into that today. We have a beautiful hymn today, Just As I Am, and stories about hunting tigers versus missionaries hunting souls. Ah, may the Lord speak to our hearts today as we come to the Bible and as we let the Bible speak through his own word. And man's rejection of the Son of God is really the marvel in the history of redemption. It proves the point that salvation is not of man. Salvation is God's plan. It is God's power. Because the first thing that God has to do to save your soul is to overturn your rejection of him. There is something in your heart that says no to Christ. There's something in your heart that says, I will not have him to rule over me. And that's what these brothers were saying. Look at verse 19. They said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. You see how this root of bitterness was in their hearts? There was a day earlier before this that Joseph told his brothers about his dreams. And he said, I dreamed that we're 12 sheaves and your sheaves all bowed down to mine. And the brothers got the message and they hated it. And they're harboring it in their hearts. And at this point they're saying, Behold, this dreamer cometh. This one who we hate the whole idea that we're going to bow to him somehow. In verse 20, you will see again how this harboring resentment was really seated in relation to his dreams. And they said at the end of verse 20, we will say to our father, some evil beast had devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Oh, there's the point. There's the thing that stuck in their minds of resentment against. They despised Joseph because he made this claim they were all going to bow down to him. And they could not tolerate that at all. Why was our Lord Jesus hated of men? Why was he rejected of his own? It is because of his revelations of the Father. And when the Lord Jesus spoke of his Father and spoke that he was sent by his Father to be the Redeemer and Savior of men, for that he was hated. Let me give you one quote, John 3:31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And for those such statements, our Lord Jesus was despised and rejected of men. And no doubt he had clashes with Pharisees and clashes with many because he claimed to be the Son of God. And for that they would stone him and eventually crucified him, because it would require that men would have to accept his words or reject them. There's only two things that you can do with Christ, the Son of God, tonight. You can reject him. You can just clam up, close your mind, step out of the arena and say, that's not for me. You can do that. Or you can bow at his feet to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Every time that men and women are brought under the claims of the gospel, they've got that decision to make. Are you going to reject him, or are you going to bow at his feet that he is truly the Savior sent from above, who seeks the welfare of your soul, who wants to deliver you from hell and bring you into the heart of the Father and into the home of the Father, that you might be saved? Now, in verse 23, we see that Joseph was hated for that coat of many colors. It came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. Ah, that coat. Now, it was undoubtedly a statement of the Father's special love. And the brothers knew it. And for that, they could not look at Joseph wearing that coat any longer. And so they stripped him of the coat. They just dragged it from him. They despised it on him. And then we're told the story of how they killed a beast and poured the blood of the beast upon it to report to their father that a wild beast had eaten Joseph. That coat was a statement of the Father's love, but it became an object of the deepest guilt under which these brothers lived for years. And we will hear about it later in the story of Joseph. For years they lived the lie. Joseph's dead. A beast has eaten him. His father, he heard that, could not be comforted, and lived in deep grief for a long, long time. Until when he was at last told Joseph is alive, he couldn't believe it. And so these brothers lived a lie. What are you doing tonight with the unique title of the Lord Jesus? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Kyrios Jesus Christos, that's his Greek name. He is the eternal Son of God. And if your heart is saying, I will not have him as my Savior, you strip him of his deity, his godhood, his unique personality, and you reject him. I will not here enter into how our Lord Jesus also had his robe stripped of him. That's a big story in its own. But Joseph is a picture, a type of the Lord Jesus in all of these details. One more step downward. In verse 28, he was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Now I ask, can this be a mistake? This correlation to how our Lord Jesus was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver, and here by Judah, one of the brothers, he negotiates this deal that he should, instead of being killed in the pit, that he should be sold to the slave traders, the Ishmaelites, and sold as a slave down to Egypt. No, I don't think this can be a mistake. This is the inspiration of Scripture that is drawing a sketch in the Old Testament first book of how his son, the Lord Jesus, would be treated. This leads us to the mystery of the Bible. The miracle of the Bible, that these details should be so linked between Joseph and our Lord Jesus. But this was another step down for Joseph, sold into slavery. He became a slave in Egypt. Egypt, with all its worldliness, It's paganism and it's history of cruelty. And Joseph is going down, down, down into humiliation, as it was with the Lord. I can see Joseph being dragged behind the cart of those Ishmaelites. I can see how they enter into Egypt and they find the slave market where there must have been hundreds, if not thousands, of cheap slave labor being sold on the auction. And how the traders would look over the naked slaves to choose the one that fits their task. And how, whether it was a broker or the captain of Pharaoh's army himself, bought Joseph and took him to his home to do every menial task that you could imagine. Now, when our Lord Jesus came into this world, he did not come to be a king. He did not come to be a sovereign to rule. He came, we're told in Ephesians 6, to be a servant. The Greek word for servant in Philippians 2 is not a servant like a deacon who has position and some standing, but it is doulos, that means a slave. And our Lord Jesus came into this world to be a slave, to have no reputation, no standing. He had no home. He had no riches. He made himself a servant, a slave, to save us, to redeem us, that he, through his poverty, would make us rich, that he would lift us out of our slavery to sin into the freedom of the gospel and one day into the glory of heaven. Can you see this correlation between Joseph and our Lord? What a wonder it is. And the big story of Joseph is God meant it for good. He was allowing all of this to happen to Joseph, not because God hated Joseph, but because he had a plan to save his people in the famine. And a way later in Genesis 50, 20, chapter 50, verse 20, it says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring to pass at this day to save much people alive." And you know how Joseph was raised up out of prison and how he warned of the 7 years of famine, and Pharaoh appointed Joseph to be the prime minister, to build the barns, to store the grain, that they would get through the famine to save many souls alive. Why did God send his son? Why did God send our Lord Jesus down into this world to suffer as a slave and be of no reputation and go to the cross? Because God would save many souls alive. Your soul and my soul and all who will believe. If you feel the famine of your soul tonight, the emptiness of your heart and your need of a Savior, Christ is come for your good, not your condemnation. Then Joseph was accused of sin and cast into jail. You can see him going down, 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 down all the way. And as he was faithful in the house of Potiphar, he was made to reign over all things until his wife did not have her way nor her fancies with Joseph. She concocted a lie that he had somehow sought to lie with her, and kept up that lie to her husband until Joseph ended up in jail. An Egyptian jail. A hot, stinking, dark place with chains, terror, and darkness. And for 2 whole years, Joseph dwelt in that jail. Wrongly convicted, because there was no sin in Joseph. It was because he refused Potiphar's wife that she hated him and kept up the lie. And when you look at the life of our Lord Jesus, why was he accused and crucified? Not because of some sin in him. Because even Herod announced there, "I find no fault in this man." And yet, he endured the humiliation of judgment, vilification, and then the cross. I wonder, do you understand that Jesus is sinless? They could find no sin in him. And it was because he was sinless that he could offer a sacrifice to satisfy the wrath of God against us. We needed a sinless Savior. You tonight need one to deliver you from your iniquities. And he who knew no sin became sin for us on the cross. And he took our sins that we would know no sin. That's the wonder of it. I want you to ponder that. And before you decide against Christ, before you close your mind, before you run out of the arena of the gospel and say, that's not for me, I want you to think long and hard what you're doing if you reject the Savior who laid down his life for sinners. As John said, there is love. I'm stammering with words here. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. The Lord is not counting you as an enemy tonight. Yes, you're a sinner. Yes, you're guilty. Yes, you are on the path to destruction without a Savior tonight. But if you turn in grace and repentance to the Savior, he's your friend to receive you. He will receive you. And you will be saved. Then number 7, the last rung in the ladder downward, he was forgotten in the jail. Joseph met two men in the jail. One was a baker, the other was a butler, and they had dreams. And the butler, he had what we're going to call a good dream. A dream that he asked Joseph to interpret, and he said, butler, after 3 days, Pharaoh is going to elevate you back up to your post again as butler in the palace. That was a good news story for the butler. And of course, the baker, he had a dream, and he thought Joseph would also give him good news, but no. Joseph told him, after 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head, and you'll be hanged on a tree. And so Joseph earned a reputation in the prison for dreams and interpretations. But he said to the butler when he was taken up to the palace, now remember me, remember me. But the butler forgot all about him. He was living the good life in the palace, and he forgot Joseph 2 full years. Chapter 41 tells us that he was there 2 full years in that prison. Forgotten. How about that for humiliation? All the way from his father's heart to seek the welfare of his brothers, to be sold into Egypt, to be cast into a jail, and now to be forgotten. That is the deepest depth of humiliation. But of course, we know the story that God, in his time, Pharaoh had a dream, and the butler did remember Joseph. And he says, I now remember my sins. I should have remembered this long ago. And he told Pharaoh, there is one in the jail who interpreteth dreams. His name is Joseph. And the rest is history, how he was brought out of jail. He was changed his garments. He appeared before Pharaoh. He told him his dream. And he was appointed to the food program of Egypt. And he became the prime minister. He became the doer of everything in the land. He was exalted. Now that is the typology of Joseph. Our Lord Jesus is also exalted, given a name to which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And we will bow the knee to Christ. We will either do it in repentance and plead the cleansing of his blood, or we will bow the knee on the judgment day as we hear the announcement, guilty, a lost soul for all eternity. But he is exalted. And here in this marvelous picture, somehow by the pen of inspiration sketched through the lives of real people, real events, is the gospel challenge to your heart. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Will you bow the knee or reject him? There are many here tonight who have bowed the knee, bowed their hearts, and given their lives to the Savior. That's what makes us Christians. That's why we can say we're saved. That's why we can say we know we're going to heaven. We've bowed the knee to Christ. He's our Lord and our Savior. We bid you to join the ranks of those who trust the Son of God. Do not reject him. Do not close your mind to him. Do not go out into eternity without a Savior. But seek the Lord with all your heart. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for tuning in, joining with us to hear the message of God's salvation today. I have a few accounts of the gospel for everyone. A story is told of two men who got into conversation on a boat when returning from India. One was an English sport and the other was a missionary. Said the sport to the missionary, "I've been in India for 25 years and I never saw one of the natives converted." "That's queer," said the missionary. "Did you ever see a tiger?" "Hundreds of them," was the reply, "and I have shot dozens in the hunt." "Well, I have been in India for many years," said the missionary, "but I have never seen a tiger. But under the power of the gospel of Christ, I have seen hundreds of the natives of India turn to the Savior. You see, one was looking for tigers, and the other was looking for souls. For what are you looking?" The Bible says, "And they that will be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Here's another story of the power of the gospel versus just lessons. When the first Moravian missionaries went to Greenland to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, they thought it was necessary, first of all, to instruct the people in the doctrines of natural religion. The result was that they were 17 years before they had a single convert. But one day a man called Kajarnik, who was a very wicked man, entered the missionary's hut and by accident heard him read the story of the last week in the life of Christ. Somehow that wicked Greenlander got a glimpse of the fact that Jesus suffered and died for sinners, and that through him a sinner might be saved. "How was that?" he said. "Tell me that again, for I too wish to be saved." The missionary was astonished. It was not long before Kajarnik, his wife, and two children were happily converted to Christ and became the first fruits of Greenland unto the Savior. It also taught the missionaries that the first thing to preach to a sinning man anywhere is the atoning sacrifice of Christ. Now, this is not a new religion. When George Whitefield was shaking England with the thunders of revival preaching, a certain baronet said to a friend, "This man Whitefield is truly a great man. Surely he will be the founder of a new religion." "A new religion?" exclaimed the friend. "Yes," said the baronet. "If it is not a new religion, what do you call it?" "I say of it that it is nothing but the old religion, revived and heated with divine energy in a man who really believes what he says. The old-fashioned gospel produces old-fashioned conversions when it is preached under the power of the divine spirit." Praise God, that is true. And we see it today. The spurious gospels of today, the modernism, the liberalism, and the social gospels, what do they ever do? My, the problems of society are greater than ever. But the gospel of the cross, of the blood of Jesus, that Christ, God's Son, became our substitute, the Lamb of God, to bear away the sins of the world. Well, these are the things that truly lead men to faith in Christ. I trust that today you will bow the knee and believe on the Lord Jesus and go tell the story of Jesus and his love.
Thank you for joining with us here at Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gollaher. My joy each day is to bring God's word to you wherever you might be. And we're praying that here through this station, God will reach many precious souls with the gospel. Thank you for listening in. I trust you'll be in touch. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. I look forward to hearing from you, just to know that the Lord is working in your heart, blessing his word to your soul. We do, of course, invite you along to our Sunday services here in Cloverdale on the corner of 188 Street and 58th Avenue. Our Sunday services are 10:30 and 6 p.m. each Lord's Day. And God willing, I will be preaching the Lord's Word week by week here in our church. And our website, which has many resources, and also if you have missed something in this program that you'd like to listen to again or recommend it to another, you can mail it forward. You can lead them to the sermon or the program from our website, which is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. We look forward to having you check in. And then, of course, if you want to visit our church services by webcast, go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and at the service times on the home page, you will see the Live Now button. Now, during when the services are not on, it will be gray. It will say off air. But immediately we are on and broadcasting, it will show on air, bright red. So join us each Sunday, 10:30 and 6, at our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca.